Cavs head coach Kenny Atkinson. That was earlier today.
Yesterday.
That too. I guessed. It was either yesterday or today, and I just kind of was like 50-50. We'll see. I've been talking about what the Cavs need to kind of clean up from the preseason now that Cavs are back. They got the Raptors in Toronto tonight. 6.5-point favorites.
It's a tough. That's a
let them know.
It's a bit of a big spread. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, for a team in Toronto that, like, I just don't know.
Well, I don't think. I think Toronto might fall into the, like, somebody's got to be 10th in the Eastern Conference. Like, that's kind of where the Raptors are. But also, they have very good fans. It's going to be a tough place to play on opening night. Like, if they play the Raptors 2 weeks from now in Toronto, 6.5, no big deal. Opening night, though, I think it just throws a little bit of a wrench into it. Makes it a little bit of a bigger spread than I might be comfortable with.
We do have Ross Tucker coming up in 40 minutes talking about the Kevin Stefanski news of the day. But as the Cavs is back, I just think we're in an interesting spot here where I do think Cleveland fans are looking for something to glom onto. And because the Browns are so bad, I think it was a big part of why the Guardians got, I mean, listen, they're in the playoffs. There's always a glow up in Cleveland when a Cleveland team's in the playoffs. But I think so many people so quickly turned their energy to the Guardians. And I think that now, for worse or better, goes right to the Cavaliers, because the it's no contest with the Cleveland Browns. There's nobody's going to be paying attention to them outside of me. And I shouldn't say nobody's going to pay attention to them. The Cavs can be the distraction we all need whenever we need it. If you can come out here and play quick out of the gates.
Well, I think fans want to have something to be happy about, and it's very clear that they're not going to be able to be happy about the Cleveland Browns for a while. The Cavs are going to be a really good basketball team. They're going to be a team, Nick, that I think is going to be very fun to watch. They're going to look much different offensively than they did under J.B. Bickerstaff, with Kenny Atkinson now running the show as head coach. I think Evan Mobley is going to take a huge jump forward this year. I think there are a lot of things with the Cavs to be excited about for this season.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think the over-under that I saw, 48.5.
That's what FanDuel has today.
So yeah. So it's so weird. Like, I'm not even focusing on wins and losses yet. Like, I think if you...
Wins and lessons?
Them too. But yeah, I really do. I look at this and I kind of like, you know what, man? I just want to see it look good. Like, offensively, I'm almost to the point where I think a critical mistake that was made last year is you didn't really build a new offense, and you really didn't focus on winning. So you didn't achieve either. So I really think that for this year to go where it needs to go, like, tonight is the beginning of building blocks to, let's get that offense out there. Let's make sure Evan gets touches at the elbow, or run the offense through him where he's empowered consistently. And even something like, hey, Jared Allen, early in the season, when you get that ball out of the three-point line, because I'm expecting he's going to get more looks out there, fire away. Let's just see. I don't think you laughed at that.
I don't think that's going to happen that frequently. I don't.
I'm not saying Brooke Lopez,
not Brooke Lopez. But I've asked Kenny about this. And, you know, one of the things that he said is Jarrett kind of needs to prove it a little bit before he has that green light to start taking those shots. Now, he did take some three-pointers under Atkinson when those two were in Brooklyn together so many years ago. But that was on a Brooklyn team that had much different expectations than this Cavaliers team does now. So I wouldn't necessarily
expect that. A very diplomatic way of saying they sucked.
They had different expectations.
Yeah, yeah. Which was to suck.
But they didn't have their own draft picks. Like, that was the year where we were watching the Nets in Cleveland all the time because the Cavs controlled their pick. Yeah.
Thank you for Colin Sexton, by the way.
Yeah.
Went real
Instead
far.
Of Luka Doncic.
Oh man, there's so now you're going to lead me down the wrong rabbit hole.
You're welcome.
So I'm just curious. Like, for me, it's, I want it to look fun. I want to see, you know, I'm looking for Evan, and I think big picture, it does feel like at some point the expectations are going to come. I'm trying to keep my expectations in check until I need to start having them, meaning like second half of the season.
Right. I mean, the expectations for this team should center around playoff performance. And I understand that's not the easiest thing to say because there is a new head coach and this team is going to look different, but it is the same team. The roster has not changed much. Like, Marcus Morris Sr. is gone and Jalen Tyson is in. Other than that, it's pretty much just copy-paste what it was last year, with the exception of the coaching staff that's on the sidelines. So I think expectations should be, you need to go on a run in the playoffs for this to be considered a successful season. I don't know how much wins and losses matter in the regular season. Obviously, if you fall outside of the top six and you're the Cavs, it is a disaster. But I don't know that there's a big difference between finishing second and maybe finishing fifth in the Eastern Conference, just in terms of what we view as a success, because the playoff victories are going to be the victories we count, not the regular season victories. That said, I like the over 40 and a half.
I will say, I think what you're driving at is something I agree with, that I do think placement in the East is going to be a little bit of a distraction. Guys, the Knicks traded for a lot of really good players, including Karl Anthony Towns. Like, the Knicks are the belle of the ball right now. Even the Sixers going after Paul George. Like, I know they're not going to play for the foreseeable future. But, like, I look at this and I'm like, it might not be set up. Like, if we're saying it's playoff or bust, meaning wake me up when the playoffs are here, then I don't know you should care if you're the 3 seed or the 5 seed. I know there are tangible benefits to home field advantage or home court advantage, but, like, I'll be honest with you, you've had a top 4 finish and gotten bonked on the head in the playoffs. I'm all for let's get you ready for the playoffs, and that's a slow build, man. That has more to do with how does it look than, well, how many wins do you have?
So I think it matters to the extent of you really want to avoid Boston. I think the Celtics are awesome. I don't know. I look at the Celtics and I say, you know what? That's the one team I'm not sure the Cavs. And to be fair here, I don't know what these Cavs are going to look like. But that's the one team I'd go, I'm not sure the Cavs can beat that team 4 times in 7 games. But I look at the Knicks, I think the Cavs could win that series. I look at the Sixers, that is absolutely a winnable series. Milwaukee, I feel the same way about. Orlando should be good, better than they were, but I still think the Cavs can be better than they are. There's not a team in the East that I think the Cavs can't beat other than the Boston Celtics. So if you're talking about this, which, you know, we're talking about playoff positioning for basketball on October 23rd, so I get it. But if you're talking about this, it should be everything you can do to be on the other side of Boston, that's a success. Whether Boston is 2 and you finish 5th, that's great. If Boston's 1, you finish 3rd, even better.
I think what would be real, because we are talking about expectations, and really, it's not about regular season expectations, it's about postseason expectations. I think if you asked every Cavs fan out there, is it Eastern Conference or bust? I think it'd actually be more of a mixed bag.
Eastern Conference Finals or winning the Eastern Conference?
Eastern Conference Finals or bust.
Okay.
I think it'd be more of a mixed bag because, one, the East is loaded. 2, some of this is predicated on health. You weren't really healthy last year. And 3, I think most fans are smart enough to understand that linear development is really tough to achieve in any sport, let alone the NBA. And you might be a trade away from being an Eastern Conference Finals, an actual team that can go to the Eastern Conference Finals and threaten for the finals. This roster still might have its things. I think what's more interesting is where are those expectations internally? Because last year, the Dan Gilbert is around more, that buzz built. Last year, it was very clear that at some point JB was going to be the sacrificial lamb. There's one guy who's been here the whole time that is the obvious candidate next. So if you're looking for a sacrificial lamb, I just think that's really interesting. I wonder internally whether they're going, hey, just so you know, there's a trade to be made. You're going to want to make it, because if we don't make it to the finals this year in the East, it's your ass.
I mean, making it to the finals this year is, I think, in the Eastern Conference Finals, yes. But I also don't know that replacing someone in the front office is the way that you should go. Like, if this team does not reach its goals, then I think it's time for a roster shakeup, which the goal to me should be the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, it is difficult for me to say if this team, which lost in the first round 2 years ago, lost in the second round last year, doesn't take another step forward, it's hard for me to say, you know what, if you make the second round of the playoffs again, that is enough to be considered a success. Doesn't mean it's some abject failure, but it's not a success either. If they get to the conference finals, no matter what happens there, aside from just getting pantsed in 4 games against the Celtics, I think fans should be pretty happy, and you should consider that to be a success. That said, if you don't get there, then I think you have to start thinking about what kind of roster shakeups can get this team to the next level.
Yeah, and I think the problem with that is, man, what a lame-ass offseason it was in the NBA. Like, up until the Karl Anthony Towns trade, up until Paul George to Philadelphia, there just was no interesting player movement. I mean, unless you want to consider CP3 to San Antonio.
No, but I mean, you had Bridges go from Brooklyn to, you know, the other side of the bridge in New York, and I think that was a big deal across the league.
Of the bridges?
Yeah, you like that? Yeah. That was a good
poetic.
One, I thought.
Very
thank
nice.
You. Yes, yes.
You should write for like a living or something.
Maybe I will. Maybe
I'll like think Cleveland about Magazine
it.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Spitball.
But you did have moves. None of them, I don't know. And the way you look at it, Boston didn't do anything. Boston didn't need to do anything. New York did quite a bit. Philly added Paul George. Milwaukee is running it back. They're in a very similar situation. Orlando added Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. That was their big move. And he's a nice role player, but it's not as if they added a superstar. The East, I think, is going to look pretty similar to what it did last year. But the Cavs are another year older, and I think that's a good thing for them. Team like Philly, they added Paul George, but Joel Embiid's also another year older and doesn't exactly have the most clean bill of health. Paul George doesn't either. You look at the average age of Milwaukee's starting five, it's like 31 years old. In the NBA, teams that are that old but they're starting five and that injured is you have Brooke Lopez, who has had back surgeries. Chris Middleton had surgery on both of his ankles this year. Like, that's never a good sign. Damian Lillard has not stayed healthy consistently for the last few years. The Cavs have a real opportunity, I think, to be one of the three best teams in the East and go on that type of playoff run.
So I agree. What I think is kind of fascinating about it, though, is it felt like, okay, teams like New Orleans and Cleveland, there was a kind of an amount of teams that were kind of in a cluster of your pieces don't fit right. And clearly the Cavs and Pelicans could have lined up because of, you know, the relationship between Kobe and David Griffin, because of where they need help and where you needed help.
Right.
And it didn't happen. And what I think makes that, what makes it so interesting is most times going into a season, I tend to think in the NBA, we'll talk about it next summer, right? And things like for things to shake free, that big move to shake free, it's usually this team falls out of it and they didn't expect to. And it's a team like Chicago that's rudderless. And then all of a sudden, hey, here's this $30 million player that give me a first rounder for. That's a cheap price, but here it is. I think what makes this year interesting is I think because of and when I say lack of player movement, I'm talking about teams in that middle part of the NBA where the Cavs are of – You've got so much talent, but man, it's just that weird thing of pieces lining up. I don't know that I can definitively tell you the same 15 guys you're rolling out there tonight are going to be the same 15 guys. And I'm talking about even the top of the roster after the deadline. I'm not predicting anything.
Well, no,
I think that's wild.
I do think this Cavs team, and they've not made trades really in the middle of the season lately. While they've been competitive, they've not done that. I believe this team will make a trade at some point this year. I don't know how impactful that trade is going to be, but you take a look, and this is kind of getting in the weeds here, but right now the Cavs are over the tax line. They should not want to pay the tax this year because they will be paying the tax for the next several years when those extensions for Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley and then Jared Allen down the road kick in. They're going to get super expensive. Them cutting salary while also improving the team will be a really interesting needle to see if Kobe Altman can thread this winter.
216-474-0092. The Cavs back on the court tonight. I just want a low commitment, casual relationship with the Cavs right now. I'm just coming out of a really bad relationship with the 2024 Cleveland Browns.
Just trying to chill.
I don't want to put any expectations on this. I just want to watch you do your thing. And then I just want to go ahead and see, you know, hey, who knows? Maybe it leads down to a ring. Maybe it leads to just, yeah, let's be friends and like a trade of Darius Garland. But I'm just saying, right now, I'm not ready for commitment. I'm not ready for another freak out. I just want to learn how to love again.
You're just trying to FanDuel Sports Network and chill.
That's true. Very good. Eastern Conference Finals are bust for the Cavs. Is that where you are? That and another way to frame what this year could be for the Cavaliers. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.